ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, I am from Prashant Nilayam and welcome once again to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. We started the series Satyam Shivam Sundaram in the previous episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside on May 28, 2020. The previous Thursday, in that episode, I shared with you how the month of May is so significant. How it was in this month, 80 years ago, that Swami for the first time revealed who He is. He made known to the world the name by which He would like to be known in the present incarnation. For the first time, mankind heard the words, I am Sai Baba. I am born in Apastamba Sutra and Bharadwaja Gotra. No one had ever heard this Gotra or this Sutra or the word Sai Baba before in Puttaparthi. Young Satya stunned everyone around by revealing his name, his mission, his methodology, and what he expects each one to do for a better world. We went deep into every sentence that Bhagwan spoke about himself on that historic day, May 23rd, 1940, and what every word that Swami uttered on that day means to you, to me, to all mankind. We spent more than an hour contemplating on this. And I also shared with you how in this series we are going to focus on the events in Bhagwan's life in the year 1950 and beyond it. November 23rd, 1950 is when Prashanti Nilayam was inaugurated. As many of us are aware, the most authentic source of Bhagwan's life story is Satyam Shivam Sundaram, authored by Bhagwan's chosen instrument, Professor Kasturi. So this sacred text will be the base document for reliving the life story of Bhagwan from the 50s, but on the foundation that Professor Kasturi has built, we will create lovely edifices of His glory, lovely edifices of the different facets of His manifestations, His power, His mission. We will draw experiences, anecdotes, insights, reflections from many other sources and people, and we will recreate for ourselves the glory that unfolded in Prashanti Nilayam after Bhagwan formed and christened this spiritual town as Prashanti Nilayam, after He unfurled to the world the sacred ashram which in the times to come is going to guide humanity on the path of truth, righteousness, peace, love and non-violence. In fact, how Bhagwan led Professor Kasturi let Professor Kasturi know in his very first interaction that he has chosen him to do his biography is so intriguing, so interesting. Nothing in the avatar's earthly sojourn is accidental. Every instance has been planned. Every instance has been orchestrated. Every instance has already been premeditated. Every instance has already been shot. It's like a movie which is already ready. Just that we are seeing the different scenes little by little as time goes. If you go back to 1948, the swashbuckling Kasturi of the Kannada literature, he was stunned to silence when the very first time he saw Swami in a devotee's residence in Bengaluru, Swami read him like an open book. And what are the first words that Swami told him? "You're glad I fixed that boy, isn't it?" And Professor Kasturi was flabbergasted with Swami's omniscience and omnipresence. Now, what had happened was a few days prior to this, Swami had instructed in a dream to Mr. Putti Iyer, an acquaintance of Professor Kasturi, to give his son's hand to Kasturi's daughter in marriage. Though Putti Iyer had initially disinclined, hoping to find a more prosperous family to align himself with. Even though Professor Kasturi wanted to send his daughter to the home of Mr. Putti Iyer, but Putti Iyer wanted a more well-endowed family for his son. And he did not respond positively to the hints that Professor Kasturi gave. And Professor Kasturi felt that Putti Iyer's son was the right person for his daughter. And because Professor Kasturi had known that Putti Iyer had great love for Bhagwan, Professor Kasturi had told himself, this Putti Iyer and his family, they consider this Sai as their master. If only the Sai says a word, he will receive my daughter Padma into his home. This was a thought in Professor Kasturi's mind. He never told this to anyone. This is what Professor Kasturi was just thinking within himself as he was worried about how to make this marriage happen. And he thought the best way it can happen is only if this Baba intervenes, because Putti Iyer has great reverence for this Baba. And imagine the first time Professor Kasturi is meeting Swami and Swami is telling, "You're glad I fixed that boy, isn't it?" It is almost like Swami heard the inner rumblings in his mind. And that is the reason why Professor Kasturi was absolutely stunned to silence when Swami told him those words, the very first interaction. And Swami did not end there. Swami said, "You lost a son, poor fellow." Professor Kasturi had lost his younger son. Swami said, "This boy will be a son-in-law and a son to you. Don't worry." And imagine, first time Professor Kasturi is meeting Swami, and it's like Swami is someone who knows everything that is going on in his life. Not only that, Swami said, "I know you have not received from the university the status that you deserve. Don't worry. Very soon you will receive that also. And your old mother will be happy now." So one after another, Swami started reeling out all the problems that were taking away sleep from Professor Kasturi's life, and one by one, Swami is narrating the problem and Swami is giving the solution. That is the reason why every syllable that Swami uttered in that first interaction left Professor Kasturi mesmerized. The kind of mental gymnastics that started, he was absolutely bewitched. Who is this person? How does he know so much about me? How does he pinpoint the exact problem that I am facing with, and he has already worked out the solution? It was really hard for him to believe what he was seeing and what he was experiencing. How could a 22-year-old with a huge fluff of kinky hair and ochre robe, how does this person know everything? And even as Professor Kasturi was trying to reason this out, now Swami dropped a bombshell. Bhagwan said, after retiring from the university, you stay with me. You can write my biography. Very first time you are meeting this strange person who knows everything about you or seems to know everything about you. And look at the extent to which he goes. He says, you are the one who is going to write my biography. You are going to write my story. And Professor Kasturi in his mind is thinking, I don't even know you. I have no idea who are you. And you have already decided that I am the one who has to write your biography. So that's why Professor Kasturi immediately said, me? I mean, are you sure it's me? And Swami said, yes, yes. I will tell you whom to consult for details. Don't get worried. Parents, brothers, kinsmen, neighbors, teachers, all will help you. Don't worry. But you are the man. You are going to write my biography. So this is how Bhagwan picked and let the world know the instrument that he has chosen for Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. In fact, in July 1948, Kasturi's mind had become a complete conundrum, because he was thinking, is this man serious? Is it a reprimand? Is it a dig at my decrying him? Because earlier Professor Kasturi used to make fun of Swami also, because he didn't know anything about him. And he was always skeptical of people who do miracles, because coming from the Ramakrishna order, Ramakrishna Paramahansa used to tell sadhakas to not engage in miracles, because that will veer them away from the spiritual path, that will lead to ego, and they might get into the show business and everything. So he used to think that this is not what a spiritual person should be doing when he should think about Swami. I mean, he mistook Swami to be a sadhaka. So he's thinking, is this person reprimanding me? Is he joking at my conceit as a writer? You know, oh, you are a big writer. You have written so many volumes in Kannada literature. Let me see if you can write my biography. Is he challenging me? Is he warning me that I should not prattle in my weeklies that he used to write in Kannada? Did he really, really mean what he said? You know, this is what was going on in Professor Kasturi's mind. I mean, it's understandable. First time you're meeting, and Professor Kasturi is perhaps past 50 at that time, and Swami is just less than half his age, 22, and Swami is saying to him, I have chosen you. You're going to write my life story. But that is how Bhagwan had let Professor Kasturi know the important role that he has chosen for him in the Satya Sai Saga. Later on, reflecting on this, Professor Kasturi writes in his autobiography, Loving God, it was too good to be true, it was too sweet to swallow, it was too sudden to sink in, too light to keep in mind. The gifts that Baba showered, he was reflecting on how Swami after that directed his life. Swami had in fact been directing his life undetectably for nearly 5 decades. But after 50 years, Swami decided to reveal himself when the time had finally arrived. And Professor Kasturi says how from the wedding of his daughter to his promotion to his mother's happiness, Swami submerged him with his spontaneous and unceasing love. In fact, Swami virtually led him by the hand from there on through every single second of his life with great care, concern and affection. And Professor Kasturi was left overwhelmed time and again. Every cell of his being was transmuted into an instrument of the divine. So beautifully, Professor Kasturi writes in Loving God, Baba thinks, plans and decides for us, anticipating possible jumblings and falterings and advising us in time about impending indiscretions. His unfailing presence, shoulder to shoulder, breath to breath, wherever I am, whatever I am busy with, is the light that has led me through this quarter century of spiritual journalism in 2 languages, over both of which I cannot claim much mastery. Because we know, Bhagwan later on asked Professor Kasturi to shift to Prashant Nilayam when the Sanatana Sarathi magazine started, 1958. And after that, Professor Kasturi was so busy in editing, writing and publishing this mouthpiece of the ashram. And by the time he wrote Loving God in the mid-80s, that is when he says, whatever I am, it is because the light that is Sai has led me through these 25 years of spiritual journalism. Earlier, he was into materialistic journalism. He was writing to earn money. He was writing to make people laugh. He was making fun of politicians. He was criticizing the happenings around in society. But now he was busy ennobling humanity. He was busy raising humanity from darkness to light under the direct guidance of the spiritual ultimate master. So that is how Bhagwan had chosen Professor Kasturi for his biography. Before we go into the events of Bhagwan's life in 1950, I thought it would be refreshing to recount the story of how Bhagwan named his biography as Satyam Shivam Sundaram. As I said, the pen was chosen by him. The document was decided by him. The document also was christened by him in very interesting circumstances. Again, Professor Kasturi recalls this in Loving God. He says, one afternoon when I was standing, not alone, but in active conversation with myself on the veranda of the press, the Sanatana Sarathi press, he says a gentleman who was passing by stopped to ask me, are there any books on Swami available? And Professor Kasturi said, no, we only have a monthly magazine, because that is the only publication that was happening from the Prashant Nilayam Ashram in those days. And so that person walked on and he was rather disappointed that there was no book on Swami. He wanted to know more about Bhagwan. And it so happened that this was physically noticed by Swami from the first floor of the mandir, because Swami was staying in the mandir in those days. The veranda of the press was very much visible from Bhagwan's house on the first floor. Swami immediately sent for Professor Kasturi, and Professor Kasturi hurried to Swami's presence, and Swami asked, "What did that person ask you?" And Professor Kasturi said, "Swami, that person was asking if there are any books on Bhagwan." And Swami said, "So what did you tell him?" So Professor Kasturi said, "Swami, I told that we don't have any books. I mean, there are no books on Swami." Swami said, "That is not the right answer." And when I read this, I thought, Professor Kasturi probably should have said that, yeah, there are some books that are happening, or there is the Sanatan Sarathi, you know, I can help you with, you know, some other literature. Maybe that is what he should have said, and that is the reason why Swami said this is not the right answer. But what Swami told that day was absolutely so, so profound. Swami said, "You should have told him that this Swami cannot be understood through books." Swami just told him this. "You should have told him that this Swami cannot be understood through books." And Swami told, "Okay, you can leave now." And when Professor Kasturi was walking down the steps, wiser as a result of the glimpse that Bhagwan had given him of his inscrutability, but at the same time sad that, you know, yes, we cannot understand you, Swami, through books, but it would be nice to have some book about you. And why not, Swami, let us have some book. Give me the chance to write some book on you." And with that sad feeling, as Professor Kasturi was returning, walking down the steps, Swami was constantly looking at Professor Kasturi as he was slowly wending his way back to the press. And when he had climbed half through the flight of steps as he had come down, Professor Kasturi turned and he looked at Bhagwan. You know, there was a lot of sadness because he was feeling that it would be nice if Swami permits me to do a book on him. So with that sorrow, he just turned and looked at Bhagwan, and his eyes were watery, and his face was red and so overwhelmed with feelings, with that intense desire to bring out some literature on Bhagwan. Because even though the glory of God is absolutely unintelligible for humans, but at the same time, we read Ramayana, we read Mahabharata, we read these sacred scriptures, we read the story of Jesus, we read the life story of Buddha, and we derive inspiration, and it is so beautiful to have these literature, and that's what Professor Kasturi was feeling. And when Professor Kasturi looked at Bhagwan through that wet film of his eyes, Professor Kasturi felt that, yeah, Swami recognized that. Swami recognized his feeling. Because Swami looked at him with a lot of love and actually raised his hand in blessing. It is almost like, "I understand what you're feeling. Don't worry. You will get that opportunity." There was the reassuring palm of Bhagwan to calm the surging sadness in his heart. And just a few weeks down the lane, when Bhagwan was among devotees at Chennai and in Venkatagiri for a few days, everyone was thinking that Swami would come after a couple of days to Puttaparthi. This was in 1959. But suddenly, even though people had expected Swami will come on a Saturday or Sunday, Bhagwan's car negotiated a newly laid macadam road and suddenly pulled up, quite surprisingly, on Thursday itself. And Swami called for Professor Kasturi, and Professor Kasturi was very worried. You know, his heart went pit-a-pat, because if suddenly Swami is calling you like this, then it could be something very serious. He was wondering if he had done anything reprehensible. Did he by mistake talk ill of someone, or did he encourage any wrong thought? More than Professor Kasturi, Professor Kasturi's mother was very worried, because she had seen that if Swami suddenly is summoning someone to his presence, then we don't know what is the blunder that has been committed. Will Swami pardon her son for the mistake he has done? And with all that trepidation in his heart, Professor Kasturi went to Bhagwan. And the moment Professor Kasturi was in Swami's presence, Swami broke into a beautiful smile. Swami just looked at him from top to toe, and Swami said, "See, at Madras and in Venkatagiri, all these people were asking, is there no literature on Swami? And what are you doing here? You're simply sitting quietly here." So that was the way Bhagavan indicated and fulfilled the intense longing of Professor Kasturi to start on that work of documenting his life story. Even though in 1948 Swami had told him that you are going to write a biography, but that green signal from Swami had not come. It happened in 1959. 11 years after that first meeting in Bangalore, Swami had decided that the time was ripe, that the world has now developed the appetite, and it is the opportune moment for the book to be served to the hungry souls. And so Professor Kasturi began his beautiful spiritual adventure of writing down Swami's life story. And once when he had finished the first volume, that's when he struggled to discover a title which would be worthy of Bhagwan. And what came to his mind was, on the parapet of the first floor of Prashantinilayam, the Prashantinilayam Mandir, Swami had the letters SSS. And in his discourses, Bhagwan would often refer to himself as SSS. Swami would say statements like, "Unless I say SSS, how could it come through? For Sai, everything is yes, yes, yes," Swami used to say. "Sai ki sarvamu yes, yes, yes. For Sai, everything is positive, positive, positive." And because SSS was so prominently displayed in the mandir, anyone who came to Prashantinilayam and looked up to the first floor of the mandir, they would see these letters, SSS. And so Professor Kasturi felt that anything to do with Swami's life should have these three words. They should have in the title each word beginning with S. And it should be three words, and all the words should begin with S. And it should be a title that should be redolent with divine vibrations. It should convey the glory of God that people have never ever tasted. And he thought, what could be that magical name? He roamed through the Vedic and Upanishadic and epics all the spiritual texts, thinking what could be the right name for the divine. Satyam, he thought, is good. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. I mean, that is how Brahman, or the inscrutable, invisible, all-pervasive divine principle is described in the Vedas. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, his infinite, his wisdom, his truth. SSS is Sri Satya Sai. And because Swami's name is Sri Satya Sai, he felt Satyam should be in the title, because Swami's name itself has truth in it. So one S definitely should be Satyam. But he thought, what should be the other two S's? Should it be Shantam? Should it be Sundaram? Should it be Santosham? Should it be Sukham? Should it be Shivam? So he kept thinking, what should be the other two S's in SSS? It's very clear that Satyam should be there. One night, while waiting for a train on the platform at Davangiri, where, you know, Professor Kasturi had served as a principal in that college, it just came to him that Shivam and Sundaram were sounding nice with Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, all three together. They were so beautiful. They sounded appropriate. They sounded authentic. They sounded like they were describing the divine in the entirety. And when that moment of divine benediction happened, he immediately came to Whitefield, where Bhagwan was. Swami used to stay in Nandanavanam in those days. And he went to Bhagwan's room behind, and he told Swami about the name Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. And Swami instantly blessed him. Swami said, yes, yes, yes. Swami was so happy when he heard that. And Swami was so excited. Swami went to his room and Swami brought out an album of photographs. And Swami showed three photographs of himself. Swami was seated on the same chair at Nandanavanam. And all these three photographs were taken within a few moments of each other by a devotee by name Saidas. And Swami said, see these three pictures. You can have all these three pictures together, side by side, on the cover. See the first picture. This is little serious. This is Satyam. And see this picture on the same chair. But now I am smiling a little. There is a bud of a smile. This is Shivam. And Swami said, see this picture now. I'm smiling fully. It's a complete, full-blown smile. Full smile. This is Sundaram. See? All the three pictures. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. Very good. It's almost like Swami was waiting for Professor Kasturi to come up with this. And he had kept these pictures ready. These pictures have been taken just within a few moments of each other in the same chair. Swami was just waiting for Professor Kasturi to come with this title, and then he would give him these pictures. And Swami patted him with a lot of love. And Swami said, yes, go ahead. For Professor Kasturi, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram had that distinct Upanishadic touch. And he felt truth, goodness and beauty. Swami is in fact the most harmonious synthesis of truth, goodness and beauty. In fact, 2 years after the biography was published in November 1961, Swami published the volume 1 of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram in the English language. And after that, in 1962, the next year, Shivaratri, Swami blessed Professor Kasturi and also Brahmashri Dupali Tirumalachar. Tirumalachar Garu was the one who translated the English Satyam Shivam Sundaram of Professor Kasturi into Telugu, and this was offered to Swami on Shivaratri Day 1962. It's very interesting that Sanatana Sarathi also began on Shivaratri 1958, and it was again on Shivaratri that the Telugu version of Satyam Shivam Sundaram was released by Bhagavan. And on that occasion, Swami blessed Professor Kasturi with a shawl, and Swami praised both the authors, Professor Kasturi and Tirumalachar Garu. And Swami told the huge assembly of devotees on that day, "Some of you might have wondered why I like the publication of this book on my life." And Swami said, "I just responded to the prayers of devotees and allowed them to write it. Ramyate iti Rama. He who pleases is Rama." Rama is one who pleases you. Swami said the joy of the devotee gives joy to the Lord. If it gives you happiness, if it gives you ananda to read the life story of Satya Sai, then it gives me also ananda. The joy of the Lord is a reward for the devotee, and the joy of the devotee is the joy of the Lord. Swami said, "This is the reason why I allowed this book to be written. It is just only for your happiness." And so true it is, isn't it? Just open any page of Satyam Shivam Sundaram and you will find such beautiful anecdotes of Bhagavan's life. Even if you have read it, every time you read it, it's a joy. Every time you read it, it's like nectar. It's like that syrup which you can drink any number of times, because it just fills you with a bliss that melts into your being and recharges you with a joy that nothing in the world can give. And Bhagwan, in that discourse, went on to talk about the title of the book also. Swami said the title given to the book is full of meaning. It speaks of me as immanent in every one of you. Swami said, "Remember, Satyam is the basic reality of you all. Your true reality is Satyam." Swami said that is the reason why nobody likes being called a liar, because all of you, the real you, is innocent of falsehood. The real you sings with truth. That's why no one likes to be called as a liar. That truth within each one of you, that is me. I am immanent in every one of you. And Swami said, "So the real you is Satyam. The real you is goodness. The real you is joy and happiness. No one likes to be sad. Everyone naturally wants to be happy." Swami said, "The real you, just like the real you is truth, the real you is happiness. And that is what everyone constantly endeavors for. Shavam is a dead, despicable thing, but Shivam is auspiciousness, happiness, joy, and everyone is that in reality." Swami said, "The real you is Shivam. It is Shubham, it is auspicious, it is Nityam, it is Anandam. And that is the reason why no one likes to be called as bad, just like no one likes to be called as a liar, because in truth, in reality, we are truth and we are good." And then Swami said, "The real you is beautiful. The real you is beauty. No one likes to be called as ugly, isn't it? No one likes it when they are told that you are not nice, or you are not pleasant, or you are not beautiful. Because everyone's inside is beautiful. The Atma in everyone is beautiful. It is redolent with that divine light. There is spark in every eye. Every smile is beautiful, no matter which corner of the planet you come from. Whether you are beautiful externally, whether there is a limb which is not proper in your body, still you feel you are beautiful. You don't want to be identified with the physical deformities and defects, because you know inside there is something in you which is beautiful, and that is the reason why no one likes to be called as ugly. And Swami said, the real you is Sundaram, the real you is Shivam, the real you is Satyam, and it is because of this that I like this title. It is because of this that. So my life story is called Satyam Shivam Sundaram, because that is truly what each one of you is. And Professor Kasturi used to feel so happy that those three words happened even as he was constantly struggling. And sometimes, you know, that ego comes up. You think, wow, through me, the name Satyam Shivam Sundaram happened. And it is at this time that once Dr. Bhagwantam, who used to translate Bhagwan's discourses in the early years, drew Professor Kasturi's attention to a Telugu book of translations of Swami Vivekananda's talks on Bhakti Yoga delivered in America. And the words Satyam Shivam Sundaram was what Vivekananda had used when he was talking about the arrival of the avatar of the Lord of Truth. So, Swami Vivekananda had announced that he would reveal the most wonderful things regarding truth, goodness and beauty. And since Vivekananda had used these words in that same order, and Vivekananda had used these words when he was talking about the arrival of the avatar, Professor Kasturi, who originally came from the Ramakrishna mission, he felt that this is just the blessing of Guru Maharaj, of Ramakrishna Paramahansa. It is Ramakrishna Paramahansa who, through Vivekananda, granted me this opportunity to come up with the title Satyam Shivam Sundaram. It is not something that I have done. In fact, a few months later, another fact came to Professor Kasturi's notice. His eyes fell on the opening of Ramcharitmanas of Goswami Tulsidas, which is published by the Gita Press of Gorakhpur. And he saw that these three words, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, is there on the opening page of Ramcharitmanas, the life story of Sri Rama written by Tulsidas. And why those three words were there, there was explanation for it. It seemed there was a controversy among the pundits of Banaras about the reverence due to a version of Holy Ramayana in the vernacular, because Ramcharitmanas was not written in Sanskrit and in the local dialect. So the pundits of Banaras felt that this is not appropriate, and we don't know if this has the approval of the divine. Are we committing a sacrilege by writing the story of the divine in a normal language? So they did not approve of it, and they decided at last to place the manuscript of Goswami Tulsidas in the inner shrine of the famous Shiva temple before the Visveshwara Lingam in Banaras, one of the most ancient shrines of the world. And they prayed that if the Lord would evaluate the work and write on it his verdict on its acceptability. And they just kept that volume there. They closed the shrine door and the pundits went back. And the pundits thought, obviously nothing is going to happen. You know, they just put a challenge. They said that only if the divine approves it in some manner, then only we will consider your book as authentic and your book as a genuine work to be circulated, and that it has approval of the gods. But if nothing happens on the book, then, you know, we will not give permission for the circulation of your book. This is a sacrilegious work of a commoner. That is how that book would be treated. And when they locked the room and they went back, the next morning, when those bundle of palm leaves written by Goswami Tulsidas was brought out of the altar, to their utter astonishment, they found the words Satyam Shivam Sundaram written in hand. The Lord with his own hand had written Satyam Shivam Sundaram and also drawn a lingam, the picture of a linga underneath as the signature. It's like Bhagavan signed himself with the drawing of a lingam after writing Satyam Shivam Sundaram. So Satyam Shivam Sundaram had come directly from the divine for this life story of Rama. And for the life story of Rama for the common man. And here Professor Kasturi was writing the life story of Sai Rama for the common man of Kali Yuga. And look at the way Bhagwan orchestrated it. And let Professor Kasturi feel the joy of it. Probably it was because of that intensity that he had to do Bhagwan's work that Swami gave him that opportunity. But he also let him know that these three words you cannot come up with. These are the three words that I myself wrote and have done it whenever my life story was concerned. In fact, after that, Professor Kasturi found commentary on Bhagwan on these three words, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. In fact, Swami, in May 1976, when he was in Srishailam, in Kerala, he was laying the foundation stone for Satya Sai Vidyapeeth. It was an education institution to groom young minds. On that occasion, when it started raining, under a canopy of umbrellas on the crest and sides of that Srishailam hill, a beautiful verse emerged from Bhagwan like a lightning flash. And Swami said, Sarvanama Dharam Shantam, Sarva Rupa Dharam Shivam, Satchidananda Rupam Advaitam, Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Swami says, I assume all names, the peace. Sarvanama Dharam Shantam, Sarva Rupa Dharam, I assume all forms, Shivam, the good. Satchidananda Rupam Advaitam, I am being, I am awareness, I am bliss, I am the one. I am Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, I am truth, I am goodness, I am beauty. In fact, Professor Kasturi in Loving God elaborates on these three words and he says Satyam means he is the substratum, he is the substance, he is the separate, he is the sum, he is the Sat, he is the being. He is Satyam. And what is Shivam? Shivam means he is awareness, he is activity, he is consciousness, he is the feeling, he is the willing, he is the doing, he is the Chit. He is Shivam. And what is Sundaram? Sundaram means He is the light, He is the splendor, He is the harmony, He is the bliss, He is the melody. He is the Ananda. He is Sundaram. And Professor Kasturi says that some devotees of Baba might brush this aside as superfluous, whatever I have written, because you can never ever document the life story of Bhagwan. He says some might even blame me for the rather cold narration, which is inevitable because you are trying to describe Bhagwan in print, which is not a task that is possible. We are only attempting to do something. How can you put in print the glory of the infinite? But he says, just like I initially demurred, I doubted and I disbelieved with all the sarcasm and satire found in the novels, skits and dramas and essays, all of which I published from 1923 to 1948, I also, in my stupid pride, did not make effort to meet him. But now, having known and having become wiser and having understood my mistakes, I now invite everyone to come and share with me His grace, His mercy, and stand witness like me to the divine power that Baba personifies. With me, you also discover through this volume the power, the majesty, the glory, and the beauty of Sri Satya Sai. That is what Professor Kasturi mentions about Satyam Shivam Sundaram. In fact, just that name itself is so profound. I shared with you how Bhagavan named the book, how he had decided eons ago that his life story will be called Satyam Shivam Sundaram, and how for many janmas he had been preparing Professor Kasturi to be the pen of this beautiful work. And today the word Satyam Shivam Sundaram fills you with joy every time you hear about it, every time it is sung. In fact, there are a lot of beautiful songs also with this word describing the divine. And every time you hear these melodies, your mind just goes back to the beautiful form of Bhagwan. Your mind goes back to the beautiful beauty that is Bhagwan. Your mind goes back to the truth of everything that Bhagwan said and how with time it beautifully unfolds.
Ishwara.
She
That is the beauty of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. So many times this song has been performed in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan. In 1948, when Srimati Karunamba Ramamurthy and her sister came to Parthi for a few days, one day when they were having a glimpse of Bhagwan through the window of Bhagwan's room, Swami was in his room and they were trying to have darshan. And the moment Swami saw them, Bhagwan came out and Swami said, "Hey, where do you come from?" And so these two sisters, Radha and Kannamma, they told Swami, "Swami, we are from Mysore." Swami asked once again, No, where do you come from?" "Swami, we are from Mysore." Swami asked once again, "Where do you come from?" And they didn't know what else to say. They said, "Swami, we are from Mysore." And Swami said, No. "Your place is Puttaparthi," Swami said, "not Mysore. Don't say that you belong to Mysore. Say that you are from Puttaparthi." This is what Swami told devotees way back in 1948. Even before the Prashantinilayam Ashram came into being in 1950. And today, millions all over the world want to say that they belong to Parthi. I have heard enough number of people from all corners of earth. You mention Prashantinilayam and they say, "That is my home. Everything else, wherever I am staying, that is secondary home. But my first home is Prashanti. My first place is Prashanti. That is my true destination. That is my true home." And this is what Bhagwan told devotees way back in 1940s. Know this. And today when you see, this is what people are feeling everywhere. And if people cannot come to Prashantinilayam for long, they miss it so much. They miss the air of Prashantinilayam. They miss the vibe of Prashantinilayam. They miss the bhajans of Prashantinilayam. They miss the freshness and the sublimity of Prashantinilayam. That is the glory of this beautiful hamlet, this abode that Bhagwan chose. And in the coming episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, we will go to 1950 and we will start the story of how Prashantinilayam came into being. It was on the birthday of 1950 that Swami inaugurated Prashantinilayam. And we will then move on to relive all these beautiful moments from Bhagwan's life that happened in the 50s, 1950s, 51, 52, 53 and so on. But first we will soak ourselves with the birth of Prashantinilayam. And there are many very beautiful things that happened prior to that. So we will start the story of Prashantinilayam in Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram in the coming episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with me through this journey. It's so much joy just to relive these beautiful moments and the life story of Bhagwan. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and if you have any queries or any comments, or if you have any accounts of Bhagwan's life with you, if you have read anywhere or if you know anyone from those times, from the 1950s, if you have anything, any pictures, any videos or any documentation, any devotee, any grandparent who has any memories of Bhagwan's life from the 1950s, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. If you want to write personally to me, you can write to Bishu, BISHU@radiosai.org. We pray to Bhagwan that we are blessed to unravel these beautiful stories of his life so that they fill us with inspiration. to recognize the immensity of His love and walk on this path with enthusiasm, with joy, and with full exuberance, because with Him, life is only yes, yes, yes. So dear listeners, if you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. If you also want to send any comments on our WhatsApp number, you can do to send them to 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.